Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: walking in an acceptable and worthy manner of God. Chapter 6. Practical postures that accompany presenting oneself or walking in an acceptable or worthy manner of God. Once a Christian understands how worthy the Lord is and that due to the worthiness of God it is also worthy for him or her to walk in a way that is pleasing, acceptable, or worthy of the Lord, realizing further that to be able to walk in this way is indeed an inestimable privilege given to him or her by God, this Christian can also advance towards a more precise or detailed understanding of this aspect of one's calling in the Lord, as exemplified in the following text. Ephesians 4:1-7. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. After a Christian understands that one has been called to walk worthily in one's heavenly calling because there is one Lord, one Spirit, and one God and Heavenly Father above all, and that, because of this, God is worthy to receive the worthy walking of the Christians, this Christian can also focus one's attention on the main practical aspects that are associated with walking worthy of the Lord. After having one's eyes enlightened about the relevance of walking worthy of the Lord because of the worthiness of the Lord Himself and because of the benefit of walking in this way, a Christian is also more able to realize that the practical aspects of walking worthily of God also present a series of new postures and actions for one's life, but which are often not considered as worthy in the practices of people who do not follow the Lord in the present world. Ephesians 5:8-10. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable, or pleasing, to the Lord. Walking in a way worthy of God, which is also the expression of a worthy manner of living in God translated into practical daily actions in the present world, goes hand in hand with postures and actions of humility, meekness, long-suffering, kindness, and other aspects that for many people in the world are considered as expressions of weakness and not actual expressions of dignity. Therefore, also at this point where the Christian is called to add postures worthy of the Lord to one's walking pleasingly to God, we return once again to the aspect of the need to know more fully the glory of the Lord to know what is valuable to God, even if it is not so in the world's eyes, for that which is worthy before the Lord to be associated by the Christian to one's walking in the world is also that which is part of the virtues of the Lord Himself. Learning to walk in a way worthy of God also includes learning about how the Lord is and what His virtues are, for in terms of adding worthy postures to walking in the vocation of God, the Lord basically calls Christians for them to adopt or add the virtues and postures that are in the Lord Himself, as is also mentioned in the texts that follow below. Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Ephesians 5:1-2. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. When calling Christians to walk in the world in a way worthy of God, even if the world is shrouded in corruption or darkness and resists the Lord, God does not do it without also calling them to look first to Him, for with the eyes looking unto the Lord and in His virtues, a Christian can always have before one's eyes the supreme and perfect model of virtues and postures that are necessary to walk worthy of the Lord. As to the provision for walking in newness of life and true godliness, even amid a world resistant to God, the Lord Himself has repeatedly declared that it is by knowing the Lord that a Christian is abundantly supplied with grace and peace, as well as by which a Christian also has the promises to know that one is called even to be a partaker of the divine nature or the virtues of God so that one may be sustained in everything by the Lord, an aspect also exposed by the texts below. Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. 2 Peter 1:2-4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. When a Christian understands that God is worthy to receive one's walking in a worthy way and in conformity with the heavenly kingdom, and yet, this Christian remains attentive to the virtues of the divine nature, one will also be able to perceive that several virtues that make God worthy are also the virtues that God offers to this Christian so that one may also walk in a way that is pleasing, acceptable, or worthy of the Lord. In calling Christians to walk worthy of Him, God does not do so without also giving them a perfect model or example to be contemplated and followed by them. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. It is in Christ's example and virtues that a Christian can know the practical postures one is called to associate with presenting oneself acceptably to God or walking worthy of the Lord. 1 John 2:5-6. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. In this way, a Christian is called to walk in truth because Christ is the truth. A Christian is called to walk in heavenly righteousness because Christ was made our righteousness and because he acts in righteousness in everything. A Christian is called to walk in love because Christ was given to us as a gift of God's love and because He acts according to God's love in all things, making it possible also for us to walk in the love of the Heavenly Father. Let us see below, then, a small list of examples about the Christian finding in the Lord the model to also behave in the likeness of one's Lord. 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. John 17:18. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Romans 13:13-14. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh, to fulfill its lusts. Faced with the fact that the Christian is called to be a follower or even an imitator of God in the virtues that the Lord wants to share with Christians, some people try to argue that an individual aiming to be dependent on God is a sign of weakness, lack of individuality, or lack of independence. However, before God, it is precisely in wanting to be similar to the Lord by whom one was created that there is one of the most honorable positions that an individual can adopt, for through it, A Christian expresses one's recognition of God's sovereign and perfect dignity. While many in the world claim that dignity lies in a person always being strong, unbeatable, and independent, this is not so before God, for before Him, a person is recognized as worthy when one declares how much one needs the Lord and how much one acknowledges that one was created to live and walk in the Lord and exist and move in Him. And upon those who acknowledge their own weakness and dependence on God, the Lord causes the grace, glory, and power of Christ to rest upon them. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And He said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, or weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. 1 Peter 4:14. A. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. In the first and so sublime epistle of John, we can also see that the reference that guided him throughout the introduction and the entire sequence of this same epistle was to have his eyes always put unto God and the Lord Jesus Christ, as exemplified below by some verses of this same epistle. 1 John 1:1-3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen, and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. Plus 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Similar to John, also one of the psalmists declares how much the hope of becoming like the Lord, by contemplating the face of the Lord through heavenly righteousness, was pleasant to him, as follows. Psalm 17:15. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness, I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Given this, however sumptuous or pompous a person's oratory might be, or however haughty one's posture is, if one thinks that one has in oneself the sufficiency of life, one places oneself in a continual posture that is not worthy of any esteem before God and which should not be esteemed by Christians either. A stance against which the Lord repeatedly admonishes all human beings, as follows. Isaiah 2:22 Sever yourselves from such a man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for of what account is he? Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Isaiah 2:12. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low. Therefore, a person who leans towards the possibility that one can be wise and worthy even being dissociated from fellowship and dependence on God also begins to incline one's life to a path of high risk of deceitfulness and corrupted illusions. Jeremiah 17:5-10. Thus says the Lord, Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? I, the Lord, Search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Regarding still the proud or haughty posture, the prayer of one of the psalmists also teaches Christians to seek support in the Lord so as not to fall and remain in such great evil. Psalms 19, 12-14. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins, let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, or pleasing, in your sight, O Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. Thus, considering that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, author jointly with the Heavenly Father in the creation of the world, Lord of Lords, and King of Kings seated over all principality and power, has the humility of heart as one of His virtues, how can an individual, except for unbelief or fascination, come to think that God will count one worthy in one's position of pride, haughtiness, or arrogance? As much as a person strives to want to do works for God, the Lord sees the heart. And it is also what is in a person's heart that qualifies an individual to have one's way of walking in the world recognized as worthy or unworthy before the Lord. 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Psalms 40, 4. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust, and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Proverbs 8, 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. The inclination towards the flesh and the inclination towards the exaltation of the human being only in its natural condition to the detriment of the posture of humility that recognizes the Lord as eternally worthy because He is the only Lord, Creator, and eternal Redeemer do not receive from God the recognition of worthy postures or paths. For these inclinations lead to death and not to the life that the Lord wants every human being to receive. Romans 8, 5-8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So, here we can see that the act of considering God worthy, as well as the act of considering, for example, humility before God as a worthy position or a virtue worthy of the Lord, express two aspects that inevitably need to walk together for a Christian's way of walking to be accounted worthy of God. The humility of continuing to recognize the sovereign dignity of God and the humble dependence on God to walk worthily are, therefore, essential postures for Christians to remain seen as worthy in the eyes of the Lord. And this is necessary so that the Christian also continues to receive abundant heavenly grace to be able to walk with dignity in the most diverse aspects of one's life. Psalms 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, these, O God, you will not despise. James 4, 6, 7, and 10. But He gives more grace. Therefore He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Micah 6, 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Therefore, Just as the calling of God for a Christian is according to the virtues of God and not of the world that resists the Lord, so also to walk in this vocation in a worthy manner of God is according to what is worthy in the sight of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1, 26-31. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification and redemption, that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord.